free trial of Nubiotics. 1-800-900-3119. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving these trials away for free. 1-800-900-3119. If lines are busy, try again. That's 1-800-900-3119.
Hi, this is Mike Kelly. When I'm looking to send flowers to a loved one for a birthday, anniversary, or that special occasion, I call my friends at Walter Knoll Florists. Walter Knoll is family-owned and operated and offers custom designs by expert designers, a huge inventory and selection that only the largest florist can offer, with quality and care that no grocery store florist can meet. They have several locations in the St. Louis metro area to serve you. Order online today at WKF.com. Walter Knoll Florists, your personal florist since 1883.
Be prepared for every season with Firestone FR710 all-season tires. They're now 10% off at Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Thanks, Frank. Do you have anything you need to store or that you are going in the future to need to store, have stored, furniture, personal stuff, college kids stuff, whatever? You're going to need a storage unit. Would you please consider Simple Self Storage? They're on Eugene Avenue in South St. Louis. Here's the deal. If you when you get a storage facility, you want it to be clean. You want it to be dry. You want it to be safe. Simple Self-Storage. You want it to be affordable. Simple Self-Storage, where the rent is guaranteed to never go up. In fact, it goes down. Your second month is free. After 4 months, it's 5% off the rate you were paying. After 8 months, it's 10% off. And if you stay 12 or more, you don't stay. Of course, you don't live in the unit. But if you keep stuff there 12 months or more, it's 15% off every month that you have things stored there. It's a very impressive place with only 57 units, and the units are all indoors. Yes. Lots of cameras, a lot of security, very safe, very clean, very simple. Simple Self Storage. SimpleSelfStorageUnits.com.
Hour one in the books. Hour two straight ahead on a Thursday. Scott Sherman in for Frank. If you don't know by now, Frank and Dan are in the Dominican Republic. Ian, house arrest, and all of them will be back Monday. Paul Harris will be here tomorrow. David Solomon has been in here most of the week. Hello, sir.
Hello, Scott. Fun working with you and Tim Weiland.
That is correct. That's his introduction. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott. Hi, Dave.
Hi there, Tim.
Got all the way back to Dan's desk from the KTRS traffic desk.
Yeah.
He's getting frequent walker miles, yeah, I guess, right. That's what we'd call it, or at least frequent walker feet. That's the way we should put it.
We used to call that two-a-days in football practice.
Yeah, right.
Running all the way.
Mm-hmm. I played football 1 year.
Did you have to drink out of a spigot? Like the thing that would water the lawn?
Yeah, you drank out of anything.
if they gave you a drink at all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, then they didn't.
That's right. Every Thursday, for about the last year and a half, I've had the honor of sitting in this studio and answering great questions from great callers that you have related to the legal situation that you might be in. I'm going to give out numbers right now. 314-969-5877, 888-550-5877. Star KTRS. I am not a sponsor, as Frank says, but I am really honored to be a contributor, and I will do my best to answer your questions. Don't be afraid. Use your name, and if you can't use yours, use some kind of other name. It's been a great ride, and we hope to continue it. 969-5877, 888-550-5877. All right, guys. Before we go to calls, and I know we do have some calls, but we have room for more, I do want to mention something that was in the news because it is related to the law. And what I like to do, even when the topic is controversial, is explain it. I don't particularly want to take a position on or advocate a position, but I figure that, you know, just like in the science field we talked about last hour, I think the legal profession has done a terrible job of breaking things down and making it accessible when it's really the rules of life. It's really kind of the entire way that we base our society. And I don't know why lawyers and people in the legislature or Congress or anywhere else make this stuff inaccessible. So there's a case that has come up through the federal court, and it's broken into circuits. You know, you get to the Supreme Court. That's the Supreme Court. That's the federal Supreme Court. Every state has its own Supreme Court. But in the federal district, there's, I think there are 11 federal circuits. And the fourth federal circuit is one that controls states like Maryland, Virginia. I think South Carolina is in that. I don't know how many others. West Virginia, North Carolina. If you remember a few years back, I think it's 2008, there was a very controversial 5-4 decision at the Supreme Court called Heller. Heller was the case that gave, for the first time, Second Amendment rights to people. Second Amendment rights. It was written by Justice Scalia, and just so you know, I happen to agree with it. I thought, you know, long overdue, and the more rights we have in the Constitution, great. But every right has a limit, and what the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals came up with their entire bank, the entire bunch of 14 judges, was an opinion 10-4 saying that AR-15 rifles, this takes care of this district only, it's not the Supreme Court, that AR-15 rifles, based on the Heller case, are not, according to these judges on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, they are not protected by the Second Amendment. And even if they were protected by the Second Amendment, which they don't think they are, the lower level of analysis, they have it called scrutiny, would be applied to those restrictions on AR-15 and other style rifles and large magazine, more than 10 magazine bullets. I'm not going to comment on the whether or not that's a good thing or not, but that is a big case coming not out of the Supreme Court, but out of the conservative Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And just an example, that circuit did rule a few years ago that those Phelps people, those horrible, rotten, nasty Phelps family, that they could be sued for protesting near the funeral of a fallen Marine and get damages against them. That was overturned unanimously by the U.S. Supreme Court. That has no bearing on this particular case, but this is not the wild, maybe people say wild liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals or what happened with the travel ban, but out of the relatively and considered conservative Fourth Circuit, a limitation on AR-15 and high capacity, more than 10 capacity magazines. So that is as hot as it gets. And let's go to calls.
We got to open the segment, Scott.
Oh, we got to open the segment, David. It's a great song.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law.
969-5877-1-888-550-5877. Star KTRS. We'll start here with Robert. How are you today, sir?
But I simply couldn't make
it. That's fine. Hello.
How may I help you?
AM and the PM first.
Of course.
And I have to say, this week, AM and the PM shows probably got its highest ratings either, ever.
Wow. Thank
so,
you.
Two quick questions.
Yes, sir.
My mom has a will. Everything's made out, filled out. Everything's designated, what goes where, to who, and all that. An executor is named. Does it still go to probate court?
What a great question. And I'm not just saying it's a great question because you complimented me, even though David cut you up. It's a great question because this comes up all the time. The answer is yes. Wills have to go to probate no matter how meticulously, no matter how perfectly, no matter how detailed they are. The reason for probate is for those wishes of that person that has passed away, the testator is the name of that person, the person that passes away, have to go through a probate court judge's approval. So look at probate as the approval process. Now, the better and more detailed and more well executed the will, the less headaches there are in probate. The way for people to avoid probate, if they can, is to craft what we call the estate vehicles, the estate vehicles that aren't subject to probate. Some trusts escape probate, but non-probate transfers, things like with houses and cars and bank accounts, in Missouri we're very fortunate, we're allowed to do all three, can be done through transferable on death payable on death, or the way that a lot of people do real estate, joint tenant with right of survivorship. But with respect to the will, that will must go through probate and get the probate judge's approval as to those particular designations. Is that cool?
Yep, I understand.
Second question.
Secondly, okay, as to do with the first. Currently, my mom's in good health and everything. She's had problems in the past, some serious. She survived all of them. She's 81. I was thinking about, which I live with her here right now, taking care of her. And I'm the eldest of five.
Good. That's first of all, that's great for you to do that, and I'm glad you do that. And I don't know if people compliment you on that, Robert, but thank you for doing that. You're a great son for doing that.
She's my mother.
That's the right answer, but a lot of people don't do things like what you're doing.
Anyway, I was thinking about buying the house because I do not own a house or rent any place.
Okay.
I've been here for a number of years. I'm going to be here until she's gone.
Okay.
To avoid the so-called death tax, if I was going to buy the house, is there a minimum time limit before she dies that I have to purchase the house? Otherwise, they say, no, you knew she was going to die, so you did it just to get out of this.
I don't know how much money your mom's estate would be worth. And is it a couple million bucks or is it less?
Oh, no, okay. No.
You're probably going to be able to avoid the death tax. And the other way, the way you can do that, and I don't know what your arrangement is with her about whether she wanted to sell you the house or give you the house, is you can buy it.
Oh.
You can buy it right from her anytime, or you could have, if she wanted to transfer it to you, you could have it re-titled as joint tenant with right of survivorship, and upon her passing, you would get it. Or it could be put into a trust where some third party then administers it and you're the beneficiary. But it's usually about a 6-month look back. But the main issue here is going to be if somebody wanted to challenge your purchase of the house, if it's done now or done before your mom loses capacity, there's really nothing they can do about it. It's her house. She can do what she wants with it.
Right.
So talk to mom and see what she wants to do. If she wants to sell it to you, you can buy it. No big deal. It's the same as her selling it to anybody.
Right. That's all taken care of in the will, but I did not know how much
she can change
her estate has to be worth to avoid the death tax, or she gets taxed.
The tax on the estate is somewhere, I think it's like, is it $4 million now? Like 4.2, it's like $9 million for a couple. I don't think it's going to be an issue. The issue is going to be whether or not somebody challenged if that was a sweetheart deal and if you're the one that took advantage of her. So I would do is if she wants to sell you the house, she's welcome to sell you, then you're welcome to buy it. But I would have lawyers draw that up and not the estate lawyers that drew up the will. And do it as a sort of an arm's length transaction. If she wanted to give you the house, like if it was in the will to give it to you, and you wanted that house to avoid probate, you could do it by retitling it. But that would require, I think, the lawyers that drafted the will to redo it and have the title redone. Okay?
Okay. Right. One, I'm not online, although I know your...
Email?
Email thing, but I'm not online in any which way, shape, or form.
Why don't you do
Are
this?
You in the phone book?
Why don't you hang on the line, and Tim will get your number, and we'll chat during the break. Cool?
Well, I'm kind of busy. I was wanting to call your office.
Okay. That would be the way I would give you the number. I'll give that. Just hang on the line, and we'll get you squared up in just a minute. Is that cool? You can look me up in the phone book too, if you want.
Sounds good
All
to
right.
me.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Okay. Lloyd, you've been waiting a long time. How are you, Lloyd?
Yes, I'm here. I was wondering, was it possible for me, or should I have adult supervision to make a living will? I'm the only one. There's no dependents. I have a younger sister.
A living will in the sense of an advanced directive on health care? or a will in the sense of you want to give your stuff to people if you pass away?
Give my toys away.
Okay. The living will, it's a good point. That's not what you're asking for, but it's either a will or a trust or some other non-probate transfer. A living will is an advanced medical directive. But if you want to have a vehicle, something that distributes your stuff, I would have a lawyer do it. This is one of those things where you don't pull your own teeth, you don't cut your own hair, and they're not that expensive. Now, I know if you said you don't have a lot of relatives, is that what you were indicating?
I have no dependents. I'm single, never had been married, no children.
You're free to leave that stuff to whomever you like. That's your choice.
Correct.
Now, if you want to do that, I would recommend you meet with somebody that does estate planning and come up with your wishes and see what the most economical and easiest way to do that is. But I wouldn't leave it up to just chance. Because if you pass away and you don't have anybody that's attached to you, or you have what's called a laughing heir, let's say you got like a great nephew or something that you can't stand, the stuff can end up going to him, and he could be a real jerk.
Yes, it would be.
That would be terrible. So I see these vehicles, these trusts and these wills as the last wishes of the person, and they need to be carried out exactly the way that person wants.
That's through an estate plan.
And, I mean, I don't do it, but I know people that are great at it. If you want to send me an email, it's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com, or you can talk to your lawyer or any lawyer. But I would this is like doing your own dental work. I just don't think it's a good idea.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, thanks a lot, Lloyd. I really appreciate the call.
Oh, thanks for the answer. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Barbara. We have time for you right now during this break. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. I'm AM and the PM.
Hallelujah.
I've enjoyed you being on the air this week. I have a kind of a generic question for you. I am unsure of what the process is like when someone is the victim of a sex crime, and does the prosecutor essentially become your representative, or do you get your own lawyer? Or
it's a great question.
What happens when that in that kind of?
That's a great question. And first, to whomever this is, if it's somebody you know or anything, I'm not going to ask you, and I don't want to pry. This is a horrible, horrible crime because it's not a crime of sex; it's a crime of violence. It's disgraceful. You will have several advocates. One is the prosecutor will represent the state of Missouri or the people of Illinois or the people of Michigan or the people of Florida, wherever the crime was committed. That prosecutor's office job is, in the best prosecutor's office, is to see that justice is done, to see that that perpetrator is convicted beyond a reasonable doubt of all the elements of that crime, that their constitutional rights are upheld, and that's their job. Within that office of the prosecutor, everyone worth their salt has a victim advocate. And the reason that victim advocates came along, I don't know if people know this or not, but Sharon Tate, who people may know that name, who was murdered by Charles Manson's people back in 1969, her mother petitioned the court in California and became one of the first victim advocates and got the first victim rights. From that, in the 70s and maybe really in the 80s and 90s, victim advocate offices through the prosecutor's office or the state's attorney's office, like they call it in Illinois, are then sort of the advocates for the victim. I have represented maybe one of the most famous people that was the victim of a sex crime, Sean Hornbeck, and I was his private attorney. I don't know, because I didn't ask him whether that was helpful, but I always think that it's best to get your own lawyer so that you can have that direct contact and things like access and resources like psychologists and therapists and doctors if they're needed, because the victim advocates do a really good job, but they're the advocates for all victims, not just sex crime victims, and that's a horribly and horrific kind of crime. So do you need your own private lawyer? Does a person? No, they don't. But I think that it would be helpful because the system takes over, and sometimes unintentionally, the victim of that feels double victimized because it is a giant bureaucracy. Does that make any sense?
It does. Would you advise the person wait until the prosecutor has made a decision on whether or not the crime, they feel that they can prosecute the crime successfully before hiring an attorney?
I think that the best way to do that is to cooperate with the detectives there, and, mm-hmm. and there are prosecutors that specialize like St. Louis County, and they're very their advocacy is very strong with the sex crime prosecutors to meet with the victim advocates and to tell them, here's what happened, and this is how it's affected me. And they have a very open and I think very kind ear, such as prosecutors can be, for those victims. So, yeah, why not? I think that, why not give it a shot? And if somebody...
And you're saying why not ask for someone from the victim advocate?
Yeah, I would definitely do that. The victim advocate office is a must.
Okay.
And they're usually affiliated with the prosecutor's office. So if somebody called that county prosecutor's office or that county state's attorney's office and asked for the victim advocate, especially on a sex crime, they would have somebody that you could speak with.
Okay.
Or the whoever. But I also think a private attorney can be very helpful in that regard of getting appointments, getting other things, explaining the system. I think lawyers are terrible at explaining the system, terrible at it. And it's a shame because the people who are really affected by the system are not the lawyers and they're not the judges. They're the people on both sides of either the criminal justice system or the civil system. And they need to be more accessible. And sometimes a private attorney can cut through some of that and get those answers to people right away.
Okay. I appreciate your help very much. Thank you.
All right. We have time for Randy. Let's do it. Randy, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. I called you and talked to you a couple of weeks ago. I had a collection that went out of state to a museum. Museum shut down, and the city took over, basically, or took possession of everything. And I finally got an answer from them, went up to pick it up. When I got there, I discovered about a third of the collection is missing. They're the only ones that had the keys. The city had the keys, turned them over to people that were doing work in the buildings. They have come along and told me we're not responsible, even though, they were in charge of it or in control of it. Any idea on what my options would be in a case like this?
Yeah, that's a bunch of nonsense. That's called a bailment. When they take responsibility, these signs, we're not responsible for lost or stolen items. Yes, you are. You might not be responsible for stolen items if somebody comes in with a mask and holds the whole place up, but you can be responsible for lost items, especially when you give them away or you negligently leave the keys for a bunch of would-be thieves to take whatever they want. It's garbage.
Okay.
So by creating the bailment, they then had a legal obligation to be very careful with your stuff so as not to just leave the keys or give the keys to people that take your things. They would then be subject to damages, the value of that, or if you can find who took it, the what's called a replevin, the actual return of that. So this place, the we're not responsible for it thing, is a bunch of nonsense. It's not easy to get all the facts, but that saying or those signs mean nothing to me, and they should mean nothing to you, and you should be furious and trying to get a lawyer. I'm glad you got some of the stuff back, but the other stuff, that's inexcusable.
Well, the next question is this. It's well out of state.
Yep.
Is there somebody I can contact? In other words, I have no idea as far as...
What state was it again that the stuff was bailed in or left in or was in?
New York.
Okay, New York. Man, there's some real aggressive lawyers. This is Western New York?
It's up near Buffalo.
Up near Buffalo. There's some very aggressive lawyers that are, even in Buffalo. I would check with somebody that does civil litigation that mainly does business litigation or does consumer law, and I'm sure you'll find somebody online up there. It's just far away, but they're just as smart as they are anywhere, and they'd like to make a buck too. So that's my best advice.
All right. Thanks for the help.
Cool. You're welcome. Thanks, Randy. All right. David, a little check of traffic.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. 437 on the Big 550. St. Louis FC brings you Tim Weiland as he has walked all the way from Dan Strauss's producer booth to the KTRS Time Saver Traffic Desk.
An accident. Only one lane is open now on eastbound Highway 270 before Lindbergh. It's actually just after McDonald around the bend there. Just the right lane is getting through. Traffic is backing up a little bit south of Highway 370. Now we've got an incident on westbound 70 at Cave Springs. It's a solid jam right. You're running slow from the Blanchette Bridge, but then you're hitting the brakes pretty hard right at Zumbel, or at 94, I should say, all the way out through Cave Springs. Southbound 270, looks like we may also have an incident on right at Ledoux, because it's a solid jam back to Olive. After that, it's slow from the Clayton Road overpass down through Doherty Ferry, and we've got a long jam up on westbound 44 now from the Merrimack River Bridge almost out to Highway 141. Eastbound 40 downtown, that's jamming up from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Account Temps. Your business needs can change in an instant. Account Temps can help by providing accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis whenever you need them. Call today, Account Temps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Desk.
Thank you very much, Tim. Scott, are we going to have some time for a few more calls after we get a few business in?
Absolutely. And Joe, Dave, and Rick, guys, please hang on. Everybody else, we got some phone lines, 969-5877, 888-550-5877, star KTRS. Be right back after this.
Hey, St. Louis, this is A.J. Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us this season at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park as we represent our city against some of the best soccer talent in the country.
Thanks for calling SomaBiotics. Are you calling for a free trial of our belly flattening breakthrough?
Actually, I already got the free trial. It totally flattened my belly.
Wow, that's great news.
But now I have a problem I never thought I'd have. My belly just keeps getting flatter. I mean, I don't want to look like a runway model, but I don't want to stop taking SomaBiotics either. Because seriously, I've never looked this good.
Well, here's one thing you can do. Only take SomaBiotics every other day. That'll keep up your results without making your belly too flat. And if you ever need to ramp up your belly flattening results again, just go back to taking it every day.
To get your free trial of SomaBiotics, call 1-800-700-2114. You're going to love how you look. And if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. But hurry and call now for details while they're still giving it away for free. Call 1-800-700-2114. That's 1-800-700-2114. 1-800-700-2114.
Have your floors taken a beating the last few years? I have a solution for you. I've just purchased a truckload of hand-scraped hickory hardwood flooring that you'll have to see to believe. Hello, I'm Brian McGee, president of Midwest Floor. This is a high-quality, 5-inch wide, hand-scraped hickory hardwood floor at an incredible price of $3.59 a square foot. That's right, you can have one of the most durable hardwood floors made. In fact, hickory is 40% harder than oak, and for only $3.59 a square foot. That's 5-inch wide, hand-scraped hickory, and your choice of four gorgeous neutral colors. For only $3.59 a square foot, all with a 25-year wear and finish warranty. So hurry into one of our two stores and take advantage of this truckload offer. That's Midwest Floor in Brentwood and Chesterfield, or online at MidwestFloor.com. Quality since 1939.
Hi, this is Frank Blair from Schnars Hardware. This time last year, we were telling you all about our Schnarification process at the former Mac Hardware in Webster Groves. Well, after rearranging aisles, adding truckloads of new merchandise assortments, and Schnarifying the store, we have quite a few items that did not make the cut. We don't want them, and you can have them for 70% off. That's right. We are clearing out the old merchandise by slashing prices to 70% off our regular retail. There's ceiling fans, flashlights, solar lights, and coach lights. Ratchets and gadgets, lock sets and socket sets. Need to stock up on light bulbs? There's a wide assortment of regular bulbs, LED bulbs, and fluorescents. So stop by and take a look around. But hurry, this sale will only last until the merchandise is gone and all sales are final. Remember, this is at our Webster location only. That's 40 East Lockwood in Webster Groves. For more information, call us at 314-961-4522. Schnars Hardware, where we don't charge for the popcorn or the advice.
If you have problems with your roof, call a contractor who has been providing quality and award-winning craftsmanship for more than a century. Taylor Roofing. Taylor Roofing is not the best because they're the oldest. They're the oldest because they are the best. Founded in 1905, Taylor Roofing is one of the St. Louis Business Journal's top woman-owned companies, serving Missouri and Illinois. Call 618-233-2424 or visit them at taylorroof.com.
Looks like some cable and phone companies are trying to sell home security. But when a burglar sees one of their signs in the front yard, what does it say? Oh, wow, this home has 599 channels. Or, oh, these guys have high-speed internet. But the ADT sign, it says, this family trusts the company whose name means security. So beat it. It's no wonder five times more people choose ADT to protect their homes.
Learn more at ADT.com and to see licensing and terms and conditions.
So it's me, Frank Opinion. I am right now in the Dominican Republic with about 90 or so of our listeners, AM and the PM people. I wish you could all be with us, but maybe next time. I don't know where you're back. There's no way I would know that. That's your business. But I will ask you this question. Why are you banking there? And would you consider moving to First Community Credit Union to do your banking? If your answer is, I'm pretty happy. Why would I do that? I'm fine. Fine's not good enough. And you don't know what fine is until you become a member of First Community Credit Union. It's not just fine. The rates are competitive. The place is very stable and secure. A lot of assets owned by the customers. We're called members. And it's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. 43 locations. First Community Credit Union, give that some thought, will you? In the meantime, stop in and have some free popcorn on us at any location. FirstCommunity.com.
On this side of the law.
Back on the large morning show. Scott in for Frank. They're in the Dominican, my regular segment. Smarty Pants Lawyer, a.k.a. This Side of the Law. Rick, you've been holding a while. Welcome to the Big 550 KTRS. Hey, Rick.
I just had a quick question. I didn't have a personal legal question. It's about the court decision you were speaking about earlier.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If that were to become the law of the land, I own an AR-15 pistol that's legally registered. Would that fall in that category?
It's a great question. The way that they looked at Heller, and for people that aren't familiar with that, that was the case that Justice Scalia wrote that codified the Second Amendment as a fundamental constitutional right. There was a case called McDonald that did that in Chicago for people by state law. What they were looking at is the traditional history of pistols being the traditional way of defending yourself in your home and your property, which is the fundamental right. What they did in this case is delineated the difference between a rifle and a pistol. So that would be a really interesting question. But this particular law, which was a Maryland law, went after AR-15 rifles and also high-capacity magazines that went into rifles. There is no such law in Maryland banning pistols or something like what you described. So it's a rifle decision, not a pistol decision, but it does not affect Missouri. It only is a federal court decision for those states, Maryland, Virginia, North and South Carolina.
Fantastic. It just got my curiosity because I great. Heard you say you repeated rifle a couple of times. And
It was right in there, and they took it right from the Heller case, and they quoted something about whether or not there was questionableness about whether rifles, AR-15 rifles or M16 rifles, would be protected even in Heller. So I just wanted to clarify that. It doesn't apply here, and it applies to rifles in that part of the country, sort of the eastern seaboard. But
fantastic.
great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go to Dave. Dave's been holding a while. Welcome to the Large Morning Show. How can I help you?
Good afternoon. I've got a kind of situation. A little over 2 years ago, someone abused the hotline and said that it was a girlfriend. She was mad at me. Said I was barricaded in my bedroom, and she couldn't give me the answer. Well, it's because I didn't want to talk to her. I locked my door. Well, then I left, and she called St. Louis County. She was drinking. She called St. Louis County and told them I was barricaded in my room, and they said, does he have own weapons? And she said, yes, he owns a lot of weapons. So they come to my house, I wasn't home the whole time. I guess they negotiated, tried to get me to come out. I wouldn't come out because I wasn't home. Then they had the entry team bust in my house. They came into my house. They busted into my gun cabinet and took my guns. 11 guns in all they took. Well, I showed up right about time it was almost over with. I come up and I come home, and I, you know, they told me what was going on. Well, they said, you know, you have to go down through a psych evaluation because of the nature of the call. And I said, well, that's just stupid. I said, I wasn't home. And he said, well, just do it. Just do it and make it, you know, make it easy for everybody. I should have never done it.
Yeah.
I went down. I went with them. I went down, and as soon as I went in, there was a psych eval counselor in there. And as soon as I sat down and told her what happened, she said, get out of here. Just go home. So I went home. I called the arresting officer, or the one of the ones in charge. And he said, yeah, you can have your guns back. No problem, Dave. He said they were confiscated, not seized.
Did you get them?
No.
Okay.
Once they get to property control.
Dave, I want to make sure we have time for other people. You've never gotten your guns back?
No. They told me it would take them 2 years to test fire them.
No.
Don't call me till then.
No.
So they finally called me after 2 years.
Yeah.
And now they're telling me I have to have a psych eval. I told them, I said, wait a minute. I wasn't even home. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Was there ever an order of protection case that
no.
was brought?
No, there was nothing.
You need a lawyer that is good at going and getting court orders to make bureaucrats do something proper.
Because I've talked to other people, and they said once St. Louis County Property Control gets a gun, they do not like to give them back.
Now, they might not like to give them back, but there's a thing called judges, and they make orders. And in this particular instance, there's no indication that you're a threat to anybody. And
no,
actually, you're actually the victim, as you're telling me the story, of somebody defaming you. I mean, these were lies.
Exactly.
We're told about you. How far?
They know it.
Here's what I say. I say that. Do you have a lawyer? Do you know a lawyer?
No.
All right. Give me an email. I'll give you some names of some people to talk about with this. We've had a similar issue like that and pretty good results. I can't guarantee anything, but the people I'll give you to, they want to charge you to talk. And this is an expensive thing, and it's really not proper. So. If you'll be kind enough to send me an email at lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com, I'll give you a couple of names.
Okay, lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Outstanding. And good luck, sir, and I'm sorry that you were defamed.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now let's go to Kathy. Kathy?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm outstanding. I'm so glad to talk to you. How can I help you?
My son-in-law, years ago, had a judgment in another state against him, and he never responded to it.
That's a bad idea.
I know. So now my daughter and he are buying a house,
yep.
but they can't because of the judgment.
How much is it?
$3,500.
Okay, that's not a huge amount of money, but it's a lot of money if you don't have $3,500.
Exactly.
How far along in the process of selling or buying or whatever their real estate issue is, are they? I mean, are they ready to close and this came up?
No, they can't even get a loan.
Can't get a loan.
Because of it.
Okay, I just had a guy that I met with that had a bunch of these things, and I'm not sure. What state was this in?
No, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay, I don't know. Is this a Missouri issue? Is this an Illinois issue? I'm not trying to pin down who this is, but tell me what state it is. I'll tell you why.
That they're trying to get a house?
No, where they live.
Missouri.
Okay, great. There's a thing called CaseNet. All right. Go on there and have them run each of their names on there. It's free. It's actually one of the good things Missouri has. Missouri has usually lousy kind of legal stuff. But CaseNet, CaseNet, CaseNet.
Okay.
Google that. Run, make sure there's nothing else on there. If this is the only thing, then they can call the creditor, the lawyers for the creditor in South Carolina, and make a deal to get that off. Or if it's old, how old is this?
It's about 8 years old.
8 years old? Well, they have the judgment. They probably figured they were going to collect it. Don't tell them why. Just see if they'll make a deal for, like, you know, $1,000, $1,500. Or sometimes, and I've just had it with a guy, they release it. They let it go. You don't have to necessarily pay retail on these things because people buy bad debt all the time. The original law firm or the original creditor might have sold this for pennies on the dollar, and the new one, $1,500 or $700 or $1,100, might be the greatest deal in the world. So tell them...
It was a person that did this. It was an ex-girlfriend.
Okay, an ex-girlfriend. Well, she's got the judgment.
Right. And so he's supposed to be meeting her next week.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a terrible setup.
Well, and exactly.
No, don't do that. Get a lawyer. Have them get a lawyer and see if that person can negotiate this thing. Because for $3,500, it's gone. But by the time they meet and they go to South Carolina, who knows what this girlfriend's going to do or say. And plus, isn't your daughter married to this guy?
Yes.
X's need to be X. And if they got to borrow $3,500 to pay this fool off, keep her away. It sounds like fatal attraction.
Well, and then to get a lawyer, it would be $2,500.
Who said that? That lawyer is a ripoff artist.
Well, they're
trying to get lawyers that do this for a couple hundred dollars.
Well, they're trying to get them in South Carolina.
No, they don't need to do that. This can be negotiated anywhere. Through the telephone or by fax or email. All she wants is her money unless she wants more.
Right.
And guess what? She sounds like she wants more. And right now, too bad, so sad, your daughter and this guy are married and she needs to disappear. Not the way, you know, people disappear in a barrel. Disappear with your $3,500. So get a lawyer locally and see if they can negotiate with this woman. Because
I appreciate it.
That's the way it goes. Or they could file a motion to quash the thing. But right now it's holding them up. We have time for one more.
Hey Scott.
Yeah.
Victor, you had him on the line before, and he hit a dead spot, and it dropped out. I don't know if you guys completed your conversation, but he called back, said he didn't. The phone dropped out. I didn't know if you want to go back to him or not.
Tell Victor that I had said all I wanted to say.
Okay.
I appreciate him calling back.
Okay.
He missed nothing except my email, which I'll give at the end. But I really appreciate the call. Joe? How are you, sir?
Good. Hopefully this will be quick. Everybody says that.
Yes.
So my wife and I were going to be moving, buying a different house, but we had some credit issues come up. And so in my name, they said my score wasn't high enough, but in her name and her salary is high enough, we can get a house in just her name. So I guess my question is, if things went south, which hopefully they don't, and we got divorced and we moved into this new house, is that considered marital property, even though it's just in her name?
Yes. What you obtain is a great question. What you obtain during that, think of it as a partnership. Once you say, I do, you're partners. You're partners in the Joe and wife partnership. Whether it's titled in a name or not in a name, if it's obtained during that marriage, that is marital property subject to a distribution. Whether or not it's titled in her name, your name, joint names, usually it's titled in joint names. But under this circumstance, I would understand. Stuff that's acquired before, that can be separate property. And people run into trouble when they commingle bank accounts, when they put people's names on stuff.
Okay.
Then equity issues come in. But if you're buying this after you're married, that thing, regardless of how it's titled, is marital property.
Okay. But if something came up and I wanted to leave and her name's on the title only, would I be responsible for still part of it or no?
It doesn't sound like you'd be on the loan, right? But you would be entitled to half the equity, or let's say an equitable distribution of the equity, because that's the language that's used in this neck of the woods. You sound like me. You're planning your exit strategy, and I love it.
Talk to you later.
You too. All right. Anybody else have any questions during the week? We couldn't get to all your calls. Sorry, Timmy and everybody else. My email address, and I'm happy to return, is lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com. I am so grateful and so glad for the calls. Another great week, if I do say so myself. Thank you, callers.
Who's for and who's against the law?
Meet me.
And we've got a great day of traffic. Here's Tim Weiland at the KTRS Time Saver Traffic Desk.
Well, I think if you're on the highways right now, and some of them, you're not going to think it's a great day. First of all, westbound 70, you are slowing from Union out through Jennings Station Road, but now we've got an accident. Westbound 70 near Air Flight, and that is jamming things up east of Highway 170. There's another accident at near Zumbel that's got the left lane blocked. Traffic is jammed up from the Blanchette Bridge all the way out past some Bell. Then they just cleared an accident that was on westbound 44 on the ramp to Highway 141. You're pretty solid now from Highway 270 all the way out through 141. It looks like westbound 40 drivers jamming up from Vandeventer out through McCausland, southbound 170 from Olive through 40, and eastbound 40 is Vandeventer to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by AccountTemps, because unplanned absences happen even when payroll is due. Call AccountTemps. They provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis and fast. Visit AccountTemps.com. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Desk.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, David. Thank you, callers. Next hour, Bill Cleveland and Mike Evans as I get my last hour of the week. Scott Sherman in for Frank. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
Today's Real Estate Minute with Kathy Helbig. Thinking real estate as usual? Not with the experience by the Kathy Helbig Group. Kathy, what makes you and your team different than normal real estate agents?
Well, McGraw, a lot of things. Number one, we're a marketing company first, then a sales company, and we're not about the gimmicks.
What about those programs that guarantee to buy your house?
No, those are bad deals for the sellers. We just sell the house instead, and for top dollar. And that starts with a solid marketing strategy. We consult with our sellers weeks or even months ahead to help them dress their house for success, help them avoid all the buyer turnoffs, and provide advice and guidance on current market value, home styling tips, and trends that will get them the highest price.
So you're not the only agent trying to do it all?
Nope. We're a team of educated, experienced, trained realtors that handle the real estate transaction by specialty. With the experience, you can expect to be moved.
That's Kathy Helbig and the Kathy Helbig Group. 314-276-SOLD or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
Growing up not too far from the Severs Equipment location in Hamel, Illinois, I was always impressed by the lineup of all types of new and used equipment at their facility. You know, big Case IH tractors, combines, plows, and planters. And I must admit, a lot of other really cool stuff that I liked climbing on and exploring when they were closed. Over the years, I've come to know them as the regional leader in the ag equipment business and so much more. In the impressive lineup of new Case IH, JCB, Kubota, Exmark, and used equipment of all types and purposes makes it obvious. So the message is simple. If you're in the market for new or used ag equipment, tractors big or small, construction equipment, or commercial grade turf management products, visit one of the Severs locations in Hamel, Carlinville, Hillsboro, Greenfield, or Auburn, Illinois, or our JCB location in St. Peters, Missouri. Quality brands, quality products, backed by quality people and service for over 4 years.